Job chapter 29. I've entitled the message tonight, Reflections. Reflection. Several months ago, the Lord seemed to lay on my heart to do some reflecting on events of my childhood and to write down as many short stories of my childhood as I could for my grandchildren. And I put together a list of about 75 or 80 little short stories, about a half page long, about little things that happened during my years growing up. And I enjoy doing that, and hopefully the grandkids will benefit from it and be able to get to know Granddad a little bit, because they don't really know me. And, you know, and I've had to ask my father some of those same kind of questions. You know, what'd you do when you were a kid? And, you know, you didn't ever really talk about that. You know, something for each of us to think about? Our children often don't know much about our childhood because we don't think to talk about that. There's so many other things you got to deal with and talk about. You don't think about talking about those kind of things. So consider doing something of that nature. But reflecting can be very helpful. It is a times of reflection can be fruitful, sobering, and also rewarding. And here Job in chapters 29, 30, and 31, he does some reflecting. And as we look at this tonight, I want us to notice some principles that we can find as Job reflects. The first two chapters are more general reflection, and then chapter 31, he really digs in with some really helpful reflections on his own integrity. So if we look at the first one, chapter 29, I find here that Job's reflecting on his blessings. The blessings that had come into his life. You know, reflecting on blessings is very needful. It was very interesting to me. I read a quote by Charles Spurgeon. He said, and this is something I'm thinking about trying to figure out a place to print this or put it down for Mike so I don't forget it. He said, too many people write their blessings in the sand, but engrave their sorrows in marble. And that is so true. We write our blessings in the sand, and the water from the ocean washes up there and wipes them away, and we forget all about them, but we write our sorrows in marble, and it never washes away. And Job was reflecting on his blessings, and God had blessed him and prospered him. We see in verse number 1 there, he says, moreover, Job continued his parable and said, oh, that I were in months past in the days when God preserved me, when his candle shined upon my head, and in his light, I walked through darkness. You know, that verse there means a whole lot more to people who live without electricity than it does to us. But when you're out camping or things of that nature, and you're depending on a little light or a little torch, and, you know, that candle shines upon us, and that light lightens our path so we can walk. And Job says, that's what God did for me. Years ago, that's the way it was. God's light was shining, and I was enjoying God's presence and his blessing. And God's intimate counsel with him, verse number 4. And he says, and I was as I was in the days of my youth when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. He said, I enjoyed the secrets of God. We fellowshiped together. We had sweet communion together. And verse number 5, and the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were about me. He said, God was right there with me. I felt God's presence with me. My children were still here with me. Those were great days. And so he's reflecting on the blessings when things were going well, before all of his troubles and problems came. Verse number 6, he talks about the prosperity of his financial blessings. He says, I washed my steps with butter, and the rock poured out rivers of oil. You know, to think of washing your steps with butter. Now, the idea there is that it had plenty of butter. You know, so why not use that? Polish the steps and they'd shine with the butter. And we'd think, whoa, what a waste of butter. But, you know, when you got lots of it in prosperity, it was an indication here of his prosperity. And the rivers of oil, and the oil, they depended on their olive oil trees, you know, from the olive trees. And the oil flowed out like rivers of oil. And that was a sign of blessing. Verse 7, and when I was went out of the gate through the city, when I prepared my seat in the streets. All right, so the honored position was in the gate and in the streets. The people would honor them. And you know, the leaders of the cities, they would sit in the gates and the people would come to them with questions and people would see them sitting in the gate. It was a place of honor. Job said, "This is where I sat." And it was great. He says, "The young men saw me," verse 8, "and they hid themselves, and the aged rose and stood up." So the young people, when they'd see him, "Oh, there's that great man Job. And, you know, let's not get too close to him." And the old men would stand up when Job came into their presence in giving him honor. And Job said, that's the way it was. And Job wasn't bragging about these things. He's just saying, these were blessings. God had blessed me. And I was a man who people respected. And it was amazing to see the blessings of that. And that was an enjoyable time. You know, reflecting on Christ's goodness to us is very important. This morning I mentioned, I think it was in my prayer, and it's some of the things that God has done for us. And years ago I preached a message on this, and I probably should do it again. But just thinking about the propitiation of Christ, you know, working through the process of what Christ did for us when he paid the debt of our sin. There was a propitiation where he paid the debt in full. And then the redemption where he bought us back. And then there's the reconciliation where he reconciled us to God. There's sanctification, where he cleansed us thoroughly. There's justification that's part of the cleansing as well. The sanctification is more of a continual process. And you just go through that and thank God for that. I have in my little prayer journal those things written down in order of that I believe that they kind of fall into. And often I'll just read over them as I'm praying and thank God for them. But God has been so good to us. And we need to thank God for the many, many ways that God has been so good to us. It's easy to count our sorrows that are in the marble. And it's so easy to forget our blessings that are washed away in the sand. But Job was reflecting. Then Job also reflected on the blessings that he had been to others. Verse 12, he says, "Because I delivered the poor that cried and the fatherless that had none to help him." He said, it was a blessing for me to be able to help the poor people. I had the money, and people that were poor and fatherless would come to me and I would help them out. Verse 13, "The blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy." He said, here's somebody that's about ready to perish, and I was able to be a blessing to them and help them in some financial way or a substance way. And he says the widow, her heart would sing because I met some needs in her life. And it was a joy to see that. And you know, there is a great joy in giving. You know, especially at Christmas time, we often, we get our gears all wrong, especially as young people. Christmas is, oh, I wonder what I'm going to get. I want more. I want these things. But you know, there's a great joy in giving. Just to see someone's heart, face light up like, wow, that's really special and I needed that. That's a joy. That's a joy to be able to be a blessing to others. And we need to look for those kind of opportunities. And Job said that cheered his heart to be able to do that. And then in verse 16, he says that as a father to the poor, and I was a father to the poor and I caused that which I knew not, I searched out. And then in verse 17, "And I broke the jaws of the wicked, and he plucked the spoil out of his teeth." He's saying here that I helped those that were in need, but I also did justice. You know, when there was wickedness there, I stepped in and I took charge of that, and I didn't let it go. I dealt with things properly, and I was a fair and a helpful person in those ways. Verse number 21, he says, "Unto me men gave ear, and they waited and kept silent for my counsel." He's reflecting again on, you know, the time when people actually came to him and said, "Job, we need some help. Would you please help us and give us some wisdom, because we need your wisdom." And Job was honored by this, and it was a blessing to him. And he's reflecting on all of these things. And you know, it does us good. And all I can speak for is myself, but I can say this, I don't do this often enough. I need to count my blessings more often. You know, I could have grown up in a home where my parents were drunks and the air was full of cursing and swearing and cigarette smoke all the time. I could have grown up in a home where They forbid me to go to church or to hear about God. But that's not the way it was. God blessed and enabled me to grow up in a home where my parents loved God. They took me to church every time the door was open. And I never heard cursing in my home. There was never cigarette smoke in our home. There was never alcohol in our home. It was a wonderful, blessed place. And I mean, it wasn't perfect. No home was perfect, but it was a great home. And that's a blessing. And we need to count our blessings. And some of you didn't grow up in a home like I did. But you know, God has been good to you in other ways. And you can look back on those things and say, thank God for the blessings I got. And, you know, many times we may be enjoying blessings and we forget all about them or don't even think about the great goodness of God. We need to reflect on that. That is really, really important. And do we sing that song sometimes, count your blessings? One of the verses in the song says, are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings, every doubt will fly, you will be singing as the days go by. We need to count our blessings. And Job was counting his blessings here as he reflected on his blessings. But then we see in chapter 30 that Job reflected on his burdens. You know, there was several burdens that were getting him down besides his health. We see here in verse number 1, very interesting verse that you could pass over without thinking about it if you're not careful. He says, but now they that are younger than I have me in derision, whose fathers I would have disdained to have set with the dogs of my flock. What's he saying there? Dogs were the most despicable things in their society. And he says, I wouldn't have even put their dads over my dogs and my flock. I would not have given them that decent of a job. That's a worthless job. They're not even that high. They're the scum of the earth. These people, and then he says, yea, and whereunto might the strength of their hands profit me, in whom old age was perished. All right, so he's saying, you know, when they're like the old people that are no longer able to do much. They're kind of useless in a lot of ways, and we don't like to think of it that way, but that's a reality. When we get older, we just can't do what we could when we're younger. And he describes these guys that have been despising him and wearing him down and mocking him. And it's a sad situation. These are mockers. They're mocking him and making fun of him. To hold him in derision means to mock. And he says in verse number 4, who cut my marrows by the bushes and the juniper roots for their meat, and they drive forth from among men, they cried after them as after a thief. He's just describing these people. They're the lowly people. They don't have anything because they don't, you know, they're cutting these roots for their food. Why? Because they're too lazy to work. And so they're just scrounging around trying to find something to eat because they're worthless people. They're wasteful people. They're lazy people. They're the people out there in the world that are just the tramps that are causing trouble. And not because they just can't find a job, but they don't want work. And they're lazy people. And these low people of the world here now are making fun of Job. They're mocking him. And they're calling him names and giving him a hard time. Look down there in verse number 9. And now am I their song. Yea, I am their byword. He said, they're making songs about me and laughing about me and joking about me and poking fun at me. Why? Because I'm sick and I can't do anything anymore and I'm laid up and I got all these sores all over me. And now they're just making fun of me. And before I was held up with honor in the gate, and now the lowest of the outcasts of society are poking fun at me and making jokes about me and laughing at me and mocking me. And he said in verse 11 there, because he hath loosed my cord and afflicted me, they have also let loose their bridle before me. He says, because God has let loose my cord and afflicted me, he says, these guys have let loose their bridle. The bridle held their mouth and they're just spouting off all kinds of garbage about me and just ridiculing me. And verse number 12, he says there that upon my right hand rise the youths. They push away my feet and they raise up against, rise up against me in the ways of their destruction. And they mar my path and they set forward my calamity. They have no helper. So he's saying they're pushing me away. They're hurting me. They're trying to trip me up in the path. They're doing all kinds of cruel and mean and evil things to me because they think I can't do anything anymore because I'm afflicted by God. And Job is having a really hard time as he's dealing with this in his heart. And it obviously hurts him. You know, it grieved Job that he had lost his honor. It grieved Job, yes, that he was afflicted. You know, all the pain of that was not nice. But it hurt him even perhaps more to see how people were afflicting him. And you know, that can be true in our lives as well. You know, some of the most painful things that we can go through is not physical necessarily. Emotional pain is often more painful than the physical pain. The things that people do and say and the way they treat us and the way that they can be unkind can be very, very painful and very, very disturbing. And Job was having a very difficult time with all this. And he was having a hard time coping with it. You know, when we fail and fall or suffer, and we will, only those that are dearest friends will remain true. We're going to trip. We're going to fall. We're going to mess up. And you know, those of you who are married, you need to be the strength and the best friend and the strongest person in your spouse's life so that they never have to fear when you trip. You never have to fear that they're going to despise you or let you go or turn you away. They're going to stand with you and help you through it and help you to get back up and do what's right. And Job didn't have that, and it was hurting him. And even his wife said, curse God and die. So everyone had turned against Job, and Job was feeling very abandoned. And then verses 16 to 31, he was afflicted by God. And this he's going over and reflecting on this burden of being afflicted by God. And he says in verse 16, and now my soul is poured out upon me. The days of affliction have taken hold upon me. My bones are pierced in the night season, and the sinews take no rest. By verse 18, by the great force of my disease is my garment changed, and it bindeth me about as a collar of a coat. He hath cast me into the mire, and I am become like the dust and ashes. So you can just see Job is describing the pain in the night season and the struggles, and his bones hurt because it hurts him all over. He's got these boils from head to toe, and he's in agony, scraping the oozing gunk out of all of his sores, and he's in misery. And his garments change because they're all stuck with all this junk, and they're all getting stiff and smelly and all kinds of disgusting things. And he says, it's terrible. And God had turned away from him in those times as he saw it. I mean, God was in control, but it hurt him deeply. And he longed for good that didn't come. Verse number 26, and I looked for good, then evil came upon me. And when I waited for the night, came darkness. And he describes himself as a brother of dragons in verse number 29. I am the brother of dragons and the companion of owls. Well, the word dragon, anytime you see the word dragon in the Bible, it's probably talking about one of the dinosaurs. All right? And so he says, I'm a brother to the dinosaurs and a companion of the owls. He's describing the wild beasts of the wilderness, and Barnes in his notes said this. He said, that is, my loud complaints and cries resemble the doleful screams and wild animals or of the most frightful monsters. He said, you know, my mourning and groaning, he says, I sound like these wild animals, these ferocious animals that are fearful. He says, it's a terrible thing I'm having to go through. He says there in verse number 30, that my skin is black upon me, and my bones are burned with heat. You know, he was so sick that his, you know, all the junk on his skin, he didn't look at all the same. He said it was all blackened by all the pus and all the yuck that was all over him. And he said his bones burned within him. It hurt down inside, all the way in. He was pained. It was a painful time. It was a difficult time for Job. And after months of this painful agony, Job still had no answer or relief. It was not easy. Job was going through a very difficult time. Sometimes some of the most painful part of our suffering is lacking the knowledge of why God is doing it. Why is God allowing this? I don't understand. What have I done? Is there something I've done that I shouldn't have done? Is there some way that I can change? What can I do, God? Help me through this. Job didn't have answers. But in times like that, as hard as it is, we know what we need to do, but it's hard. We need to trust God, trust His sovereignty, and trust His love. Got to. And yet that's hard. To trust God and trust His love. Know that God still loves me, and God's going to take care of me, and God knows what He's doing. God has not made a mistake here, even though I don't understand. And then chapter 31, very interesting chapter, and I think there's some many things here we can gain from this as he reflects on his integrity. He begins in the first four verses by examining his integrity as a man. He said in verse number 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? This is a vow or a covenant that every one of us boys and men need to make. Job said, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I will not think upon a maid. What was he saying? I'm not going to lust. I'm not going to look on a woman with lust in my heart. Jesus said, if we look on a woman with lust in her heart, we've committed adultery already with her in her heart. And so he says, we must not do that. And it takes diligence. And you ladies, you just don't get it. And I'm not saying that in a nasty way. I'm just saying you don't get it because you're not a man. But you know, one of the things that you ladies need to do is probably not need to make a vow like this, but you need to make a vow that you will never wear anything that is in any way immodest that would cause a man to take a second look. And men, you need to help your wives because they don't understand. And I don't say that badly of them. It's just they don't understand the way a man thinks. Never wear anything that will cause a man to take a second look. What did I just see? And we don't want that. And men, that'll help us men. It'll help other men that aren't your husband. I mean, that's the sad part. You know, I think a lot of times husbands don't say anything because it's their wife. They don't think anything of it. And you know, yeah, she's my wife. That's fine. But men, you got to think. I mean, she's going out and showing everybody else that. And she needs to know, no, sweetheart, you're not going to go out looking like that because I don't want anybody taking a second look at you. You're mine. And we need to be clear with each other and help each other because this is very important. Job said, I made a covenant on my eyes, so I will not look upon, or think upon a maid. And he goes down, verse number 4, he says, doth not he, God, see my ways and count all my steps? He said, God sees me. He knows what everything that takes place. He's an all-seeing God. And because of that, Paul wrote to Timothy, he said in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. He said, we need to be careful. God sees all that we do. He knows all that we do. And we need to guard ourselves. And then in verses 5 to 8, he deals with his honesty. He said, if I have walked in vanity or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighted in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. So Job's just saying here in these verses, I have been honest. As I evaluate myself, Have I cheated people? No, I haven't. I've done right. He's evaluating himself, and he's looking at these things. Verses 9 to 12, he evaluates his relationship with other women. He says in verse number 9, if mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait for my neighbor at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let another bow down upon her, for this is a heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. Job said, I have not been unfaithful to my wife. I've been faithful to her. And that is, again, he's evaluating his integrity. And these are things that we really need to guard in our hearts, every one of us. Job knew that sexual sins begin with the deception of the heart. It always starts there. Satan deceives our heart, gets our heart to think the wrong thing, and that leads to wrong actions. And we need to work diligently to guard against that. Proverbs 4:23, keep that heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And so Job was evaluating his integrity. And then we see that Job examined, secondly, his integrity as an employer. Verses 13 to 15, he evaluates how he treated his servants. And he says, I've treated them compassionately. And I've treated them in a way that is right. If I did despise the cause of my manservant or of my maidservant, then they contended with me. When they contended with me, he said, so I'm evaluating that. When they came to me with an issue, did I despise them? Did I treat them fairly? And he says, I have. I've treated my servants fairly. And then verses 38 to 40, down toward the end of the chapter, he deals with servant or his farm workers. And he says there that he's evaluating. He says, I've treated them fairly as well. And so he's just evaluating his integrity as an employer. And you know, those under us, whether we maybe have a position at work where we've got people under us, how do they look at us? Do they look at us as one who is fair and just and treats them right and with integrity? Even our children, you know, they are under us as well. How do they look at us? You know, if someone asks our kids, you know, what do you think about how does mom and dad treat you? How do they deal with things? Would they say, oh, they're fair? You know, they may be hard, but they're fair and they're just and they're kind and they're appropriate. And, you know, we need to have that. We need to be compassionate. We need to be fair. And Job said, I've evaluated myself and I'm right in those areas. I have not gone wrong there. Then Job examined his integrity as a neighbor. Verses 16 to 18. Verse 16, it says, if I have withheld the poor from their desire and have caused the eye of the widow to fail, or if I've eaten my, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof. So he's saying here, if I have not treated people right, you know, is the poor people, if I haven't pitched in and helped them, or if I'm sitting down eating my dinner and there's a poor person outside that has nothing to eat and I'm not sharing it with them, that's not right. And he says, I have not done that. I have been careful with that. I have been cautious about that. In verses 19, he talks about clothing the poor. If I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or if any poor without covering, if his loins have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep. So Job's saying here, if I see people that are cold, they don't have enough clothes, they're shivering and they're not warm. He says, I've always clothed them. I've given them some of the fleece of my sheep to take care of them and provide for them. And so he's evaluating all these. He's examining. He's reflecting on his integrity. So he reflected on his integrity as a man. He reflected on his integrity as an employer and now as a neighbor. And he's reflecting on the way that he treats others. And then we see down in verse 21, he talks about siding against the fatherless. If I've lifted up my hand against the fatherless, you know, so the orphans that are out there, he says, I don't lift up my hand against them. I side with them. I help them. I try to be a blessing to them. I try to be an encouragement to them. And then he never rejoiced when his enemies suffered loss. Verse 29. You know, this is something that we struggle with sometimes. If I rejoiced at the destruction of him that hated me, or lifted up myself when evil found him. You know, you stop and think about that. That's not easy. If someone has treated you very, very badly and then something bad happens to them, it is hard not to say, yes, they got what they deserved. God said, don't do that. Don't do that. And we've probably all done it. Because that's the natural part of our nature. Someone has been unkind to us. Someone has hurt us in some way. And finally something bad happens to them. We say, yes, they got what they deserved. And God said, no, that's not the way we're supposed to handle it. In fact, he emphasizes that in Proverbs as well, Proverbs 24:17, where Solomon wrote, rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth. God said, I don't want you to be happy and rejoice when bad happens to the people that have been bad to you. It takes work. I know I've not been perfect in that area. But Job evaluated himself and says, I haven't done that. I've had a right attitude. Job was a good man. That's why God was able to say in those opening verses of the book of Job, he said, Job was an upright man. Job really was. He had done right. And he was a God-fearing man. And then he said, I've always been hospitable and generous to people. In verses 31 and 32, he talks about his generosity to others. And then one last area, Job examined his integrity as a worshiper. He said, how have I been as a worshiper? And he starts out in verse number 24. He says, if I have made gold my hope, or if have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence. He says, I haven't done that. I haven't looked at money and wealth and materialism as my God in life and kind of hold it up to worship it. He said, I've not done that. I've not bowed down to that. And you know, none of us would take and set up our, you know, set our wallet on the counter there and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to worship my wallet now. Because we wouldn't do that. No, none of us would do that. But yet at the same time, many times we live in a society that is so materialistic that we can get caught up in all that. And materialism and money and things become very important to us. And they do have a need, but at the same time, we need to make sure that God is put first. Tithing and teaching our children to tithe is very, very significant and helpful and important. I am so grateful that as a little boy, my mom and dad taught my siblings and I to tithe. You know, when we would work for granddad and earn a dollar, we'd come home and say, Dad, look at my dollar I got from granddad. Yep, all right. Now remember, 10 cents of that is God's and 90 cents is yours. Okay, yeah, Dad. And we'd go and take our 10 cents out of our bank and we'd put it in a place where we'd remember to take it to church on Sunday. I mean, that's important. They need to learn that from a child. And so, because I learned that as a child, it doesn't hurt. I mean, I don't struggle with it. Oh, I wish I didn't have to tithe because it's so much. Now, it doesn't bother me because I'm used to that. It belongs to God. And I learned that as a child from my parents, and I'm so grateful for that. But, you know, Job wasn't worshiping his money. Neither did he worship any false idols. In verse 26 to 28, he talks about the false idols. And if I have beheld the sun when it shined and the moon walking in brightness, and my heart hath been secretly enticed, or my mouth has kissed my hand. He's talking about worshiping the sun and the moon as so many people did, or bowing to them and praying to them secretly. He said, I never did that. I have not done that. I've been faithful to God. And you know, things in this, none of us would ever dream of going out tonight and looking up at the moon and say, oh, let's pray to the moon. We wouldn't do that, but yet people all around us are making, you know, heroes out of their sports heroes and their hobbies and their pleasures, and they put so much emphasis on that they leave God out of their life, and that is their little God in life. And we need to be careful that doesn't happen to us. And then he ends up and he says, I have no secret sins hiding in my heart. Verse 33, if I have covered my transgressions as Adam by hiding mine iniquity in my bosom, did I fear a great multitude, or did the contempt of the families terrify me? He says here, I don't have any secret hidden sins. I have not sinned against God. God knows my heart. I've not done that. You know, the book of Hebrews, we read there in chapter 4, verse 13, he says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He says, God sees it all. Can't hide anything from God. And Job said, God knows my heart. I don't have any secret sins. And that ought to be able to be said by each of us as well, that there's nothing between us and the Lord. And so as we look at these things here tonight, especially this last chapter, some really good things in here for us to ponder. There's Job reflected on his integrity as a man. He says, I'm going to vow that I'm not going to look on a maid in a wrong way. I'm not going to do that. And he reflected on his integrity as an employer, how he treated others, people under him. as a neighbor, how he treated those that were around him and his neighbors, and as a worshiper, how he worshiped God and was faithful and loyal to God. And he didn't worship the things of this world. He wasn't materialistic. And so as we look at this, I challenge you tonight to just ask God, God, is there something I need to work on here? Is there an area that I need to reflect on in my own life and maybe make some changes? Maybe I need to get rid of some things. Maybe I need to just change the way I do some things. Or maybe I just need to get right some areas that need to be gotten right. And just ask God to help us to reflect in a proper way. So why not tonight? Let's go home, do some reflecting. Reflect on God's goodness. Perhaps reflect on some of the burdens you've had to bear. But then take time to reflect on your integrity. Where are you before God? What's your life really like when you stand in the mirror before God? What's God see?